you would, join me in corporate prayer for those of you at home in the comforts of your home. What we do is we have corporate prayer together, and our first focus in January was praying for the filling of the Holy Spirit. In February, we prayed for a health and for wisdom from God. Last month, March, we prayed for our children, our grown children, and our children who think they're grown. So we covered them in prayer. And as we go into April, I just want to pray for healing for our country, the health of our country, healing the hearts, healing the spirit of our country, and with everything that's going on today. And so for those of you that are just joining us, what we've been doing, we have our first meal after service. So we've been somewhat fasting on Sunday mornings until after service. So you can join us. It's not a religious thing. It's just something that we're doing so that we just want to keep our focus and keep our connection on God. So you can join us if you like, but you don't have to. But if you would, just join us in prayer. We'll have a few minutes of prayer, maybe a minute of prayer, and then we're going to get right into the Word, and then you can enjoy the rest of your Sunday. So if you would, bow your heads. Lord, we thank you, we bless you, and we love you. We come to you once again in prayer. Lord, we're just stating that we need you. We're depending on you. God, some of us were praying this morning and we're fasting and we're asking, Lord, we're praying on behalf of our country, praying for the leadership of our country, Lord. We're praying for the health of our country, Lord. We're praying for our families. We're praying for our loved ones. God, we're just praying for your healing hand to be upon them, God. We need your help, Lord. Heal us physically, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Heal us mentally, Lord, the minds, Lord. We don't want to lose it. We don't want to fall apart. Your word says that we should pray and not fall apart. We should pray and not lose hope. We should pray and not faint. We should pray and not give up. So I'm praying for the minds, Lord. Don't let us lose it, Lord. Your word says you haven't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Praying for that mind, Lord, as we're sitting at home with our families, Lord. Don't let us drift off and go into spaces that we don't need to be in, Lord. Let us practice all the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the gentleness, the meekness, the kindness, the faith, and the self-control, Lord. So praying for the mind of your people this morning, Lord. Praying for the hearts that need healing, the broken hearts, Lord. Broken hearts from relationships, God, and siblings, and death, and divorce, and friendships that have been broken. Lord, just praying that you would heal the hearts. May we use this time to reach out to someone, Lord, and remind them, hey, I love you, I miss you, and I'm praying for you, I'm thinking about you, Lord, praying for healing of the hearts. And then, Lord, we're praying for healing of the spirit, Lord, the broken spirits, God, those that were damaged in church and outside of church, Lord. May we not get it confused how men can act and how much God loves us, Lord. So praying for those broken spirits, God, who've given up on God, Lord, praying that they would be reconnected. And God, at this time, they would run to you and not from you. They would look to you and not away from you, Lord. So we need your help. We're praying. We're standing in the gap, praying for our families, our loved ones, praying for their health, their physical, mental, emotional, Lord, health, their spiritual health, Lord, in the name of Jesus, their relational help, Lord, praying that this would be a time, Lord, of renewal, Lord, a time of reflecting and resetting, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and refreshing. So praying that refresh some relationships, Lord, renew some relationships, Lord, in the name of Jesus, as we've been called to just pause and reflect, Lord. May we reflect on our relationship with you and make it a priority. We're asking, Lord, we need your help. We don't know what to do. Your word tells us to take it one day at a time, God. And so we're asking today for our daily bread. Give us everything we need today to be sufficient. And then when tomorrow comes, we ask that you would do the same. So we thank you, Lord. We love you. We bless you. We're praying. We're standing in the gap, praying for our country, God. May there be a revival. May the country pause and look to you. So we've been so distracted in other things. So now we're caused to pause. And may we look to you, God. And we love you on today. We just want to reiterate, Lord, we love you. We decree and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. We thank you, Lord. You're not caught off by surprise, God. You're not shut down, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that you are in control, Lord. Let us line up with your will and with your plan. Oh, we need you today more than ever. Bless your people to hear. And now as we get into your word, Lord, we're praying, Lord, that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. Bless your word. Bless your people, Lord. Bless them to hear. Then bless us to live your word. Bless us to share your word with someone. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us share the good news today more than ever. As folks are looking for answers, let us share the answer. Jesus Christ, resurrected Savior, coming back for his people, watching over us, covering us and keeping us. We need you, Lord, and we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we want to welcome you to our live stream service this morning, if you would. And I want you to be engaged with us. I want you to have your notepad. I want you to have your pen or your pencil, your paper, your notepad, and your physical Bible. It's okay to have the Bible on the phone, but while we're at home, let's have our physical Bible. Take notes in your Bible if you need to. And just be engaged and follow along and write what God is speaking to your heart. If you need additional prayer, please go to send us an email at life@southbayalc.com. If you need additional specific prayer, please. We have a team of people that's praying every day and every week, and we would love to get your prayer requests and pray for you during this uncertain time for all of us. Additionally, if you would like to give, and thank you for those of you that have been giving, you can go to our website, southbayalc.com, www.southbayalc.com. Push the giving button. If you're on your phone, you go to the three lines, push that. Then it will show giving, push giving. You can pay via credit card, or you can send in your tithes, your offering, or your donation. You can send that in to South Bay Abundant Life Church, 3553 Suite B 279, that's Long Beach, California. Did I say 3553 Atlantic Suite B 29, Long Beach, California, 90807, and you can give that way. And for those of you, us, you know, we never do games or tricks or gimmicks for your giving. We just ask that you give according to God's word. And we thank you for that as we continue to take the gospel to the entire world. Did I ask you to open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 11? I'm sorry, chapter 7 and verse 11. Let me say that again. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 11, if you would turn your Bibles there, please. Couple of other announcements. Bible study, we will be in 2 Samuel chapter 8, and that is Wednesday night at 6:30. So for those of you who joined us last week, thank you so much. Great study, great time of fellowship, great time of interaction, and great time of study. So we're asking you would please join us again this week. Again, and if you need specific prayer for anything, please, it's all confidential. Please go to life@southbayalc.com for prayer. Amen. If you're ready for the word, give a thumbs up. Amen. So let's take a look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 11. This is also our communion Sunday, and so we will be having communion at the end. For those of you who would like to partake, just ask that you get a cracker and some juice, and I'll lead us in communion. And so as we are talking about communion and what Christ did for us, this message this morning is called Healing Through Humility and Prayer. Let me say that again for those of you as you're taking notes. The title of the message, if I would give it a title this morning, it's talking about healing through humility and prayer. Very, very incredible and interesting passage this morning. So let's get started. Verse 11, thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he successfully accomplished. Let me read that again. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he successfully accomplished. So we have Solomon, he's built the temple for God. In chapter 6, Solomon prays, has an incredible prayer. Make a notice, the entire chapter 6 of 2 Chronicles, Solomon makes the prayer. So they have prayer, they have celebration, and they have sacrifice. And then they have a visitation from God. So just hear what I'm saying. They have prayer, and then the sacrifice, then the celebration, and then the visitation from God. So oftentimes we think, does God still speak? I would say yes, but we have to put ourselves in a position to hear from God. So here we are, we have the celebration, the sacrifice, and then we have the visitation from God. So I think that if we would prioritize, make God a priority, and hopefully during this time of reflection and resetting and refreshing, hopefully we're putting time in and making God a priority. I do believe that God speaks. I just don't think we've made it a priority. I think we've been so distracted. And now that we have the opportunity to kind of pause and run to God and listen to God, I believe God's been waiting for some of us for a long time to speak to us and to visit us. And we just have to put ourselves in a position to hear from God. So make a note, I believe this is a time of reflection, a time of resetting, and a time of refreshing. Amen? So let me just kind of break down what God was speaking to my heart. So we have to reflect on our relationship with God. And then it's time for us to reset and make God a priority in our life. And it's refreshing, time for us to refresh our prayer life and our commitment to Christ. So make a note, this is a season that we're in now. It's not an accident. It's a God thing, it's a purpose thing. Reflecting, resetting, and refreshing. Let me say it again. Reflecting in our relationship with God. Resetting our priorities, resetting and making God a priority, not just when things go awry, but every day. And then refreshing my prayer life and my commitment to Christ. At this stage of life, Solomon has made God a priority. At this stage. And so make a note that we have to be consistent. We just can't run to God when things are tough. We have to be there with God, whether we're going through success, failure, ups, downs, highs, or lows. We have to make God a priority. We have to wait for God to speak to us directly. And then we have to make sure that we're not serving false gods and being distracted by all other type of idols. So here we are. Verse 12. Says, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night. Make a note. God does appear. God does speak. And this is the second time that God has appeared to Solomon. And he came by night. So make a note. It's God speaks in the daytime. God speaks in the morning. God speaks at night. Sometimes God has us up at night and can't sleep and you're trying to figure out what's going on. God really wants to speak to your heart. God wants us to pray. not just to be up, not to turn on the TV, not to do other things, but pause, listen, and allow God to speak to your heart at night. Speaking of the heart, in verse 11, it talks about that Solomon was able to do everything that was in his heart. So make a note, it's a matter of the heart. So as we're doing things, he finished what God had called him to do. And I don't even know if I've started what God's called me to do, let alone finishing. I would ask you, have you took time to ask God, God, what have you called me to do? God, what are you calling me to do? And if you know what he's called you to do, have you finished it? So here, make a note of this. Here's a note to make. Solomon finished the work for God's house. And the dwelling that we're talking about is the presence of God to dwell there in the temple. Now we know that we're the temple and God dwells in us. But Solomon finished that and then God blessed his house. So as we make God a priority, God makes sure that our house is blessed. And you know, and it's important to do things for God. How do you know when you're working for God? Because God receives the glory. God's name is magnified. And then there are things that we do for ourselves, and and it makes us, you know, it makes us look good, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't think God has a problem with us being successful as long as God has our heart. But just make sure that you examine, you and I, we have to examine our heart. And when we're doing things for God, we have to make sure that it's really for God. It's not a hidden agenda. It's not an ulterior motive, but it's truly for God to receive the glory. So everything that was in God's, in Solomon's heart, God saw that. And it was for God. It wasn't a show. It wasn't to make a name for himself. It was really to make a name for God. So we see that God visits him in verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard your prayer. Underline that, make a note that God hears prayer. And if you're wondering what prayer God is talking about, it's the entire chapter 6 of 2 Chronicles. And it is an incredible prayer. And Solomon, in the prayer, I just give you a little background on it. In the prayer, Solomon is praying that God's presence would always be in the building that they had erected for God. That God's presence would be there. It would be a place for them to go and ask for God's help and ask for forgiveness and ask for God to be with them and to bless them and to watch over them. And when they messed up, they had a place to go to get it right. It's sort of like the church today, but then we know that we are the church. The church is inside of us. So within our heart, it's a place where we have God in our heart. And then when we mess up, we need a place to go. Like right now, when things are so uncertain, it's time to go and look into our heart and say, God, you live in my heart. I've accepted Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. Then it's up to us to run to God within our heart and say, God, I need help. God, I don't know what's going on. God, give me your wisdom. Fill me with your wisdom. Teach me through the Holy Spirit, God, what am I to do? What am I to finish for you in this time? God, now that you have my attention, what am I to do for you? How am I to work for you? What am I to finish for you? And God, as I'm building your house, then Lord, help me to build my own house and to keep my house in order. God is saying, get your priorities in order. Make sure your relationship with God is tight and right. And then make sure at home your relationships are on great terms at home with those within your house. And seeing as how we are kind of, we're not stuck with the people in our house right now, but we are kind of, you know, we kind of stuck at home. It is a good time to evaluate those relationships and make sure that they're right. Ask for forgiveness. Remember, we're talking healing and we're going to see it in a minute. The healing comes through humility and prayer. And make a note, humility in the Hebrew, it means humiliation. Oh my God, I mean, just kind of wrap your mind around this. Healing comes through humility and prayer, and we're going to read that in just a minute, but the word humility means to be humiliated. You know, like Christ was humiliated on the cross and spit on and slapped and mocked. He was humiliated so that we could be saved, so that we could live. And sometimes in your relationships, you have to be humiliated so that your relationship can be saved and can live. Husbands, sometimes you, and it's a mandate of God. Husbands, you have to sometimes be humiliated in your relationship, which means you humble yourself so that your marriage can live. And wives, sometimes you have to be humiliated. And it's not a term of just being a doormat and being taken advantage of, but it's a condition of the heart where you're forgiving and you're loving and you're kind. And the word says that you're long suffering. And sometimes that's humiliating because our pride wants to take over. And our arrogance and our ego and our jealousy and our envy wants to take over. I call it the Jeep syndrome. And I've kind of added I keep adding letters to it. It's a Jeep syndrome. It's G-E-E-A-P, a Jeep syndrome. And that stands for our greed, our ego, our envy, our arrogance, and our pride. And you can trace any argument that you had this week, last year. What was it that was hurt? Was it about your greed? Was it about your ego? Was it about your envy? Was it about your arrogance? Or was it about your pride? But God says, God is the opposite of that. God said that you humble yourself and you pray. And then, and we're going to see it's a few other things that come with that. And then the healing comes. Whether it's a father to son relationship. Dad, you got to humble yourself so the relationship with your son can be healed. Son to father, son, you got to humble yourself so your relationship with your dad can be healed. Dad, you got to humble yourself so your relationship to your daughter can be healed. Daughter, you got to humble yourself so your relationship to your dad can be healed. Mom, you got to humble yourself so relationship to your daughter can be healed. Daughter, you got to humble yourself so relationship to your mom can be healed. Mom, you got to humble yourself so your relationship to your son can be healed. Son, you got to humble yourself so the relationship for your mom to be healed. The healing only takes place through humility and prayer. Someone has to stop the madness and be humble so the healing can take place. Our relationship with God. Some people say, I don't need God. I don't want God in my heart. Then that's your choice. But until you humble yourself and realize that we all need a savior, we all need to be rescued, we all need to be saved, until you humble yourself and ask God to save you, there's no healing that can take place between you and God. God is not like us. God is not on our terms. God is not our equal. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. The word even says that God's ways are beyond understanding. So if you're trying to figure out what God is doing, you're already off to a bad start. You have to humble yourself, humiliate yourself and say, God, I have no idea what's going on. And at a time like this, it is so easy to do because, God, I have no idea what's going on. I humble myself. I need your help and ask for healing, not only in my heart, but in my home and in this land right now. And that's what Solomon's talking about. And this is what he built the house for, so they could have a place where they could go and ask God for the healing. God shows up in verse 12. Okay, let's go ahead and continue in the word. Verse 12, and the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard your prayer. Thank you, Lord, for hearing prayer. And not only that did God hear it, but God has answered the prayer. And God says, I've chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. Make a note of that. God says, I will come and hang out at your church. I will hang out in your temple because it is a place that I am welcomed. Make a note of it. God is welcome there. Solomon begged God. They asked God. They prayed God. God, will you come and be in this house? And that's just what we do. When we ask God, God, will you come into our, God, I need you. Will you come into my heart? You welcome God in. God comes in. Please make a note of that. Or you can tell God, God, I don't need you. I don't want you. And God say, that's fine. Live your life, but you will stand before me and you'll have to answer to me. And then you have to deal with that when you stand before God. But humility says, when we humble ourselves and pray, God says, I want to come and be there. And believe it or not, you have some churches where God isn't. You have some church because they don't want the presence of God there because it's all about man. It's all about self. It's all about greed. So God is not in every church. But those that humble themselves and pray and beg God and ask God and seek God, God is there. And just like we know that God doesn't dwell in a building now like he did, his presence doesn't. His presence dwells within us. But we have to humble ourselves and ask God to come inside our heart. God says right here, I've chosen this place to come and to be there with you because you made me feel welcomed. It's like the story of the man who's outside crying because they wouldn't let him into a church for whatever ism they were going through. God comes in, puts his arm around him and said, don't worry about it. They won't let me in there either. God is not in every church. Every church is not built on the rock of Jesus Christ. Every church is not built on being led by God. But right here, because of Solomon's, their sacrifice, their prayer, their celebration, they get the visitation. And God said, not only am I coming because your heart is in this, but I choose to be here because I'm welcomed here. Welcome God into your heart. If God is not welcome in your heart, he's not going to be there. If you can't humble yourself, God's not coming into your heart because he's not welcome there. For those of us that pastor a church, if we don't invite the presence of God in, God's not going to be there. It's just an empty building and we're playing church. It's about something else. Maybe it's about our name being magnified, but not God's name. So make a note, God's not in every place. God's not in every heart and God's not in every place. And we're talking a true and living God right here. And in the Old Testament, we know this to be Jesus Christ concealed, the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. In the Old Testament, it's concealed. And in the New Testament, when Jesus Christ comes, then it's revealed. Jesus Christ revealed as God in the flesh, part of the Trinity. I love this next verse. Take a look at verse 13. Here's God saying, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Make a note, God is saying, and this is part of Solomon's prayer. You will see it in chapter 6 as well. Solomon asked God, when things go wrong, we need a place to run to. God, when you allow things to go wrong, God doesn't cause them. God allows them to happen. So make a note, God allows it to happen. And this is what God is saying. And make a note, especially for today. God says, when I allow things to get difficult so I can get your attention. This is verse 13. I'm paraphrasing it. When I allow things to get difficult so I can get your attention, when I allow things to fall apart so I can grab your attention, when I allow all of your man-made idols to crumble, when I allow all your greed and arrogance and pride to be exposed, then you have a place to run to. Let me say that again. Verse 13, God is saying, when I allow things to get difficult so I can get your attention, I think God has our attention right now. God says, when I allow things to fall apart so I can grab your attention, things are falling apart. God, you have my attention. When I allow all of your man-made idols to crumble, all the stuff we thought meant so much that's crumbling right before our eyes, God, you have my attention. When I expose your greed and your arrogance and your pride, that it's always been about you and now it can't be about you. Verse 14 says, verse 13 says, when I allow all those things to happen, then verse 14 says, you have a place to come to. And it starts off with if. Everybody highlight if, I-F. Our relationship with God comes down to two letters, I-F. If is conditional. That lets you know you do not have to run to God. You do not have to ask Christ to come into your heart. You do not have to. You do not have to want to live for God, finish what God has started in your life, or finish what God has called you. You do not have to. It is conditional. For all my teachers out there, you know that is a whatever part of speech it is, it's conditional. It's if. So God says, if my people, underline it, it's not everybody, it's not the whole world. The world's going to do what the world's going to do, but God says, if my people. And these days, God's people are those of us that are Christians, that have accepted Jesus Christ into our heart as our personal Lord and Savior. He's saying, this is what you need to do. And look how it starts. If my people, which are called by my name, again, name means God's reputation, his report. If you're called by God's name, so what's the first thing? Humble. Write it down. Underline it. God's called us to be humble. It's a time, I can be honest, it's not hard to be humble these days because I don't know what's going on. Even as a pastor, to stand here and say that I have all the answers, I have no answers, I have no opinion, I just have the word of God. That's all I can give you. Because I have no idea, but I do know that God wants us to run to him and not from him so we can get instruction on how to move forward with God. I do know that much. I know God is calling us to humble ourselves, and then he said, pray. And that's the time of, I've been talking about reflecting and refreshing and renewing with God. And we got to reset and pray and run to God and humble ourselves. And number one, make sure our relationship with God is right. Because when you're right with God vertically, then all your other relationships horizontally just seem to fall into place. When I'm right with God, I understand that God has a calling on my life. I understand that I'm to share God's love with others. I understand that my light is to shine before others. When I understand that, then I don't have a problem with anybody right here. It's not much you can say to get me off my game with God. But when this isn't right, you say something, I'm upset, I'm going off, I'm snapping at you. It's all about me. It's what you've done to me. But when this is right, it's all about working for God, pleasing for God, pleasing God, finishing the work for God. You become God conscious and not self-conscious. We get so caught up in being self-conscious and it's about me, it's about my ego and my pride and my arrogance because I'm not directly connected to God. Because when I'm directly connected to God, then I know I got to humiliate myself. I got to humble myself. I got to esteem you higher than myself. I have to die to self so that my relationship, number one, with God can live, and my relationship with others not only can live and survive, but to thrive. God gives us the formula right here. And then we just have to have the courage enough to practice it. So here we go. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and then seek my face, and the face, underlying face, it means seek his presence. Run to God's presence. And then we have to turn from our wicked ways. We have to turn from all the stuff that we know isn't right and that we've been doing, all the distractions, the idols that we've been making a priority above God. We got to turn from those. Run to God. And then look what God says. Then God said, then he will hear. Wow. Let me go over it again. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, humiliate themselves, and pray. You should be praying for your spouse. You should be praying for your kids. You should be praying for your parents. You should be praying for the leadership of this country because that's what the word tells us to do. You should be praying for your siblings. You should be praying for your church members. You should be praying for your pastor. You should be praying, praying, and more praying. And if you're looking for a model of prayer, look at 2 Chronicles chapter 6. What an incredible model of prayer that Solomon offers up. God says we need to pray, and within the pray, we need to worship, we need to praise. We've been talking about that for the last 2-3 weeks. Then God said, seek his face, seek his presence, and then turn from all the other stuff, the distractions and things that have been taking us away from God. Then God said he will hear. Until we do that, God can't even hear us. We're looking for a healing, but God can't even hear us because we haven't humbled ourselves and prayed and ran after God to seek his face. We haven't turned from our wicked ways, from all the stuff we know isn't right. And I'm not talking about a struggle, because we all struggle with something. I'm talking about the practice where you say, this is who I am and this is just how I get down. God said, that's a wicked way. You got to turn from that so I can even hear. Man, family, make a note. Until we do that, God can't even hear. We're praying and it's just bouncing off the ceiling. Don't fool yourself. If we don't follow this formula, God said, I got to hear you first before I can heal you. And until we line up with God's word, God can't even hear us. And so we would ask, where is God at this time? God is right where he's always been. But we're the ones, we've gone awry. And we can't humble ourselves. We can't pray. We will not seek God. We will not turn from our wicked ways. And God said, I can't even hear you. And until you do that, we can't even talk. God help us. And that's the revival that we need to be praying for. This is the message we need to hear. So God, what do we need to do? And he's not talking about the world. He's talking about his people. Those who say, yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. That's who God's talking to. He's not talking to everybody. He's talking to his people. Make a note of that. And if you call yourself a Christian and you can't humble yourself and pray and seek God's face and then stop doing the stuff that God is, you know, that God is not pleased with. I'm not talking about perfection. When God talks about perfection, he's talking about loyalty. God's not called us to be perfect. That's why we need a Savior. Jesus Christ has already done that. God's called us to be loyal to him. And so then here we go. Make a note. So, Pastor, the church is a building. Yes, it is. And sometimes people make the mistake that the church is a finished product. It's a polished trophy sitting on a shelf. It's not the church. Three functions of the church is to clean us up, to build us up, and then to send us out. To clean us up, to build us up, and to send us out. God loves us so much, he takes us just the way that we are so he can clean us up. People say, well, I'm not coming to church until I get my life together. You miss it. This is where you come to get your life together. That's why you run to God. You humble yourself to get your life together. Then you come, you get cleaned up, then you get built up, and then you get sent out. Don't make the mistake of thinking that in church everybody has it together. We don't. We wouldn't need God if we had it all together. We need you to come join us so we can clean you up, build you up, send you out so we can touch the world and bring some good news to the world for a change. That God loves us so much that he will take us just as we are, but he loves us even more than that, so he will not leave us that way. He'll take us as we are, but he loves you too much to leave you like that. Let's go ahead and finish this message up. Look at verse 14 again. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal the land. Then the healing comes. And the land, the word land means our hearts. It means a physical land. It means a country. God wants to heal that land around your heart that's rough and that's stony and so hard that you haven't let God in, let alone humbled yourself to mend relationships with your friends and family that you love. God wants to heal that, but you have to do your part. Remember, it comes down to two letters, and that's I and F. Not to be confused with the two letters U and S, which is us, right? It's not, this right here is not about us. It is collectively, but it starts individually. If you haven't humbled yourself individually, we can't do anything collectively, because then we're going to run into the Jeep and it's going to ruin everything. You got to get out of your Jeep. You're at home now and you make a call, you call someone on the phone, and You get into a conversation and your Jeep shows up, your greed, your ego, your envy, your arrogance, and your pride, and it ruins everything. You're at home within your house at your family, and your greed, your ego, your envy, your arrogance, your pride shows up, and your house is just a mess because you refuse to be humble and trust God. You have to get to the point that you can trust God at His word. And make a note, until you trust God 100%, you will never know what God could have done with your life. Let me say it again. Until you trust God 100%, you will never know what God could have did in your heart, in your life, in your home, in your business, with your family. You will never know. And that's just the Bible says we are to walk by faith and not by sight. God, I don't see it. I need to see it. Then you're totally contrary to Scripture. The Scripture says you're not supposed to see it. You're supposed to trust God and follow God. Humble yourself, pray, seek God, turn from all the stuff we know is not right, so God can hear, and then God can heal. Look at verse 15. God says, "Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place." God is saying, "I will be there with you. I'm listening to you." When you humble yourself, pray, seek my face, turn from your wicked ways, I heal, forgive, heal, hear from heaven, forgive, and heal. And God says, I will be there. My eyes will be open. I'll be watching over you. My ears will be attentive through the ups, the downs, the highs, the lows, to the prayer that is made in this place. So God says, when you get right with me by having Christ in your heart, God says, I'm right there with you through the ups and downs. Don't hear me wrong. It does not mean that everything will be going well in your life. Probably to the contrary, it might fall apart even more. But walking with God, God is with you, and God can lead. God can guide you and get you to the place where He wants you to be and allow you to finish the work that He's put in your heart to start and finish. And at the same time, it will bless your home. Verse 16, make a note. God says, for I have chosen and sanctified, which means He set this house apart, that His name may be there forever. And my eyes and my heart shall be there continually. Wow. Make a note of that. God is there. God wants to be there. So God has chosen you and I to be set apart for His purpose, because God lives in us now. We are the temple. So God says, I want to live inside of you. And so make a note. How do you know if you've been chosen by God? If you've received the free gift of salvation into your heart through Jesus Christ, you've been chosen. If you haven't, you refuse to, then you haven't been chosen. It's just that simple. Don't make it any deeper, any complicated. You accepted Christ, you've been chosen. You refuse to accept Christ, then you haven't been chosen. So God has chosen a place for His presence through the person of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple now, and God dwells in us. And then we are to allow God's light to shine through us so others can see it and then ask, what is it about you that you can be so calm in the midst of everything that's going on? Or you can remain humble when most people in your position's head would be so big they couldn't walk through the door. We know that it all comes from God. And to stay connected to God, we got to continue to humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face. And when you talk about the ultimate in humility, our example was Jesus Christ. This is the first Sunday of the month, and that's when we take communion, the first Sunday of the month. Jesus was humbled unto the death. It didn't have to be. He chose to be so that we could live. So we'll quickly take communion. And let me say this. If you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, please join us in communion. If you have not, then I'll give you an opportunity after communion to accept Christ into your heart, and then next time you can definitely participate with us. The word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Said it last week. It's an exclusive club as a Christian, but it's open to everyone. Let me say it again. It's an exclusive club that's open to everyone. I love God for that. So if you would, let's look at the scripture and look at the humility that Christ had. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. Look, as we tie this whole, God's not telling us to do anything he didn't have to do. He had to humble himself. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Some of us have been fortunate enough to go over to Israel and look at those olive trees that are over 2,000 years old. The same olive trees where Jesus Christ prayed at. We were able to go and stand in that Garden of Gethsemane and touch the trees and just look at just that amazing, awesome place where Christ prayed and said, God, if there's any other way for the people to be saved then, other than me being crucified, remove this cup from me. But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. So Jesus Christ, his human side said, can there be another way? But then the God rose up in him and said, you know what, this is the only way and I have to do it. So make a note, when we stand before Christ, we won't be able to tell Christ, you don't know what it was like to have to deal with people on earth. He said, oh, actually, I really do. You don't know what it's like to be betrayed. Oh, actually, I do. You don't know what it's like to lose a loved one. And then God would step in and say, I had to watch my son die. Yes, I do know what it's like. I feel your pain. We will be without excuse when we stand before God. We will not be able to tell God, you don't know what it's like to be betrayed, talked about, let down, stabbed in the back, spit on, slapped, and eventually killed. We will not be able to say that. But look at the humility in Christ in 1 Corinthians 11 and 23. Paul is telling the story of the Last Supper. He's saying, for I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, let's pause right there. Put it together. The same night in which he was betrayed, the same night in which he was stabbed in the back by a friend, a close friend, a disciple who'd walked with him for 3 years, the same night in which he was betrayed, stabbed in the back, sold out, however you want to call it, he took bread, he broke it, and he gave thanks. Think about that. Think about the humility within that. You're being betrayed, but you can give thanks. You're being betrayed, and you're not going to hold it against the one who's betraying you, so that the relationship between us and God can be aligned right again. So Christ could humble himself. Christ lives in you and I, but you can't humble yourself. That doesn't make sense. It's a choice. You have to choose to humble yourself so that your relationships can live, and so your relationship with God can thrive and your relationship with others can thrive. So Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25, after the same manner, he also took the cup. And when he had drank it, he said, this cup is a new testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. So Christ gives this command to the disciples to break bread and to drink wine or juice until he comes back. Same way that he gives us the Sabbath. The Sabbath is practiced in the Jewish custom, 5:30 Friday to 5:30 Saturday, every day for the last 5,000 and I think 778 years. Why? Because God said so. Why? Because you will never forget that on the Sabbath day, I need to pause, spend time with God, spend time with family. So here we are, we take communion for the past 2,020 years. Why? So we could pause, get our life back in biblical order, biblical perspective, pause, and remember what Jesus Christ did, the physical price that he paid so that we could be free right now, spiritually in him. God knew that there would be marriage and divorce and birth and death, earthquakes and pink slips, diseases. God knew all that would happen. So he said, you gotta stop and you gotta get off the merry-go-round and you gotta pause and you gotta remember that I died for you and I'm coming back for you. That's why we take communion, so we'll never forget. We do it once a month. We said as often as you remember, you can do it as often as you like. So you always remember what it's about. It's not about a show. It's about us knowing that Christ resurrected. We serve a resurrected Savior and he's coming back for us. Next week being Easter Sunday, we'll talk about the resurrection and the validity of the resurrection. You don't want to miss it next week. Everything that we believe hinges on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So critical. But then God causes us to pause. God causes us to pause and take communion. So if you're at home and you have your bread or your cracker, I want you to go ahead and lift that up, which represents the body of Christ. Remember, it's a representation. It's not the body of Christ. It's just a representation. And it reminds us that he had to pay a physical price for us to be free. We'll never forget that. Let us never take for granted what God did. And even more so now, let us run to God and stop running from God. We will not be able to stand before him and tell him he didn't understand what it's like. This proves he did. He had to pay a physical price. Go in and eat that which represents his body. And then if you have some juice, you can elevate that. I know some of my saints at home, you might actually have some wine. I'm okay with that. Break out your wine. Just a little bit, though. It's only 10 o'clock in the morning. Let's not get carried away. Somebody say amen. But if you have your wine at home, the word tells us not to be drunk and all laid out and sloppy, but the Bible definitely says that wine makes the heart merry. So it's just that most people in society don't know when to stop. But if you do have your wine at home, hey, you got your crackers and your wine, take communion in the comfort of your home. God bless you. And we know that it's because we remember what Christ has done for us. So Lord, bless the sacraments this morning. Thank you that you paid a physical price for us to be free. Thank you that you humbled yourself, as we've been talking all morning. You humbled yourself and you prayed, God, and then you sought God's face so that you could be heard. And then we could be healed, which means we could be rescued and saved from death, hell, sin, and the grave. You humbled yourself. You died on that cross for us. But on that third day, you got up and you resurrected. We serve a resurrected Savior. The tomb is empty. And you told us to do this in remembrance of you, to put our life back in biblical perspective, to run to you because you're coming back for us. So we thank you, Lord. We love you and we bless you. Bless the sacraments. Bless communion this morning. Those that are taking it at home and those that are here taking it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. go on and drink that which represents his blood. So let us pray as we close out service, and we look forward to seeing you either Wednesday night or next Sunday morning. Thank you so much for joining us. Remember humility, prayer. Humility and prayer leads to healing. Please join us Wednesday night, 6:30. The link will be on our Facebook page. And also, if you would like to pay your tithes and offering, you can go right to the website, southbayalc.com. Click the giving. If you're on your phone, click the three bars and it'll take you to the giving. It's also an address there. If you're not comfortable sending money through the e-commerce, then you can just mail it in to 3553 Atlantic, Suite B279, Long Beach, California, 90807. So let us go ahead and pray. If you have any prayer requests, specific prayer requests, please email them to us, life@southbayalc.com. We have a team of people waiting to pray for you. It's all confidential. You do not even have to include your name, just a prayer request, so we can take it to God. We believe God's word, and we say, as we humble ourselves and pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways, then he can hear, he can heal the land. We stand on that. Thank you for joining us. Lord, we thank you and we bless you, Lord, that you joined us this morning, that your word joined us this morning, your Holy Spirit led us, Lord. We need you more today than ever. Bless your people, Lord. God, that we can be obedient to make a change within our own homes and in our own hearts by humbling ourselves and praying and trusting you for the healing, Lord. Let us line up with your word. Bless this time that we've had together. Bless the remainder of our day, Lord. May we be God conscious and not self-conscious. May we desire to finish the work that you've called us to do as you bless our house. Let us make you a priority so we run to you and not from you. Bless your people. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Till we come together again, we decree and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And we pray, Lord, that we will walk in obedience so we can experience the abundant life that you have for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you, see you Wednesday, or we will see you on next Sunday.
They said that during the week. During the week. Mm-hmm. Randy, the pastor wants to know about the volume, how you said that during the week.
I lost a breath.
When you don't have your mics plugged in, it's going to default to the speaker of the mic.
So we didn't change it, huh?
It's okay. We're here. We just have to change it back to microphone. That's why in the beginning it defaulted.
Mm-hmm. That's why nobody could hear it. So you wrote that on that list, right?
Okay. It's on Sundays. We just got to switch it to the right. It's not hooked up.
Yeah. Right.
Now, question. Are we using both mics? I mean.
No, we're just using.
It is? It's necessary for both. Okay.
What do you want to know? You live in church. Mm-hmm.
See if, oh, Brandy, let me go get you.
I really.
It's in my book.
That's what Kyle's doing. He's trying to tell you the wrong thing.
Wait, you already.
What's she saying?
She said, why don't they play us out with some music?
Want to do what?
Play us out with some music.
Oh, yeah, next time we will. What's up, brother?
She said, you're going to make her cry.
Why?
She said, you're going to make her cry.